RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome to another round of the Best of SDHAM here at the Off the Woodwork podcast section at 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. John Nelson here with you. Thanks for hanging out with us as you always do, and thanks for accessing us however you do on a weekly basis. For those of you that may not know, SDHAM is the morning show that is attached to the Soccer Down Here network, and it airs 9.05 a.m. Eastern time until 11 past 11.05. Let's just say it that way. It's 2 hours plus pretty much Monday through Friday on the SDH Network, Soccer Down Here's YouTube channel, on Twitter, the 280-character app, and it is also available on your podcatchers later on in audio form. So live on YouTube, live on the 280-character app, and available on audio later on in the day. And it's also broken down. Either you can listen to the full show, or you can catch up with your favorite segments that are released on a daily basis as well. So bunch of different ways to sample SDHAM. And what we like to do at SDHAM is bring on pundits and newsmakers and get you ready for the day and get you ready for what the news stories that you may have missed coming back from the night side, because, you know, game never stops. And if anything happens overseas in Europe while those of us on the East Coast of the United States are kind of napping and closing shop up a little bit, we catch you up on all that, get you previews and your juice boxes and everything that gets you ready for your day Monday through Friday on the SDH Network. And so when we're talking to pundits, we'll have some of that on this particular episode. We'll kind of take a tour around the planet with one of our friends, Nino Torres, and he will break down some of his stories from 2025, whether they're from South America or whether they are from Europe. And so we catch up with Nino as a part of what's going on. We also catch up with the number 2 overall pick in the most recent MLS Super Draft. Ricky Lewis from Georgia Southern. He is heading to FC Dallas, so we find out about his draft day, what he's looking to improve upon, and what he's looking forward to as he heads to Frisco to try and see what it's going to be like on the professional level under head coach Eric Quill. Then also on the show this time, there's only that first chance you get to show off your identity when it comes to a soccer team. And we've been kind of following what's been going on with what on Twitter, on X or the 280 character app, however you wish to describe it, as Boise Pro Soccer. That was how they started. And so that has evolved into what is currently AC Boise as they're getting ready for USL League One for this upcoming season in 2026. And so, you know, when you take the field, you can't just take the field in your street clothes or just in, you know, like T-shirts with markers with numbers on the back. You have to invest a lot of time and a lot of effort and try and figure out, okay, how do we want to look? And what does the creative process go into where you can show all of the civic pride that you're looking for and all of the different ways that you're trying to impress upon folks that this is a first-year team, but we are really looking forward to representing our town, our community, and our fans in one way. And for that, at AC Boise, we check in with their chief marketing officer and lead kit designer, Jenny Tellaria. And she gets to walk us through a lot of what's going on when it comes to kit development and trying to take those first steps when it comes to making that first impression in a league for a professional franchise. So we catch up with someone who's drafted early, someone who's trying to prepare themselves for season number one, and for someone looking back when it comes to 2025 on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean. So without any further ado, let's let you know what happened during the Super Draft. MLS Super Draft number 2 overall pick was Ricky Lewis. Some of you know him from Georgia Southern and his time in the Sun Belt. Now it's time for FC Dallas fans to find out about what Ricky Lewis is all about. Here's our conversation on SDHAM. So traditionally, Ricky, when I'm on the sidelines and I'm doing games or whatever, one of the things that they always tell us never to ask when something is completed is how does it feel? You know, how does it feel to have done this? I'm going to put a dollar in the jar and understand that I violated sideline reporter law number one and go ahead and ask, now that the draft is over, how does it feel?
Yeah, I mean, it still hasn't hit me yet, but it's just amazing. Like right now, like everything I dreamed about is coming to reality. The hard work, like it's crazy. Like I still waking up knowing like, wow, like you're gonna be a pro is still like crazy to me. So yeah, I feel great. I feel excited, and like I've been saying this like from the start, like I'm just ready to work.
Take me through draft day. And I mean, did you have any ideas? Were you married to your phone? Were you trying to figure out where were you watching things? How were you keeping a track of everything? Take me through draft day, which ended up being very short for you, but take me through draft day and your prep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was talking to my agent, Mike from Octagon, and, you know, he kind of gave me a heads up of where I was going to get drafted, but it kind of went over my head. My mentality was like, honestly, like wherever I go, you know that they obviously want you for a reason. You're going to go show your talents and you're going to be the best or hopefully a legend in that club. And you're going to do the best you can. So I was just coming in, trying to get everyone in my family situated, everyone comfortable. I'm a little bit nervous, but like, I know, like, you know, you did this, like you already did the hard part. So the easy part is just waiting and sitting there, like where your career starts off. So yeah, like I wasn't even on my phone yet. I was just like trying to get everyone settled in, you know, trying to make sure everything's right. Yeah. And then once it started getting close, I was looking at my phone. I looked at the time. I was like, wow, it's getting close to draft. So, obviously, I did a live stream because you know how MLSs are, they want to do it online now. So I try to find a little live stream, and, there was this, guy called Kick a Ball Pod. They were doing like a live stream. They were like, you know, guys that are really into like soccer, MLS and all that. In the college world, so they were doing like the MLS draft on their end. So I was just like, you know, might as well do it there. You know, get the entertainment, get some type of, you know, feel that you got accepted. So yeah, I was on the live stream. We waited and we were watching. They were talking a little bit, and they announced the first pick, which was the center back from NC State, which is congratulations to him. And then yeah, like I was just waiting still. And then I got a notification from my agent like, you did it, man. I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, go look at Twitter. I look at Twitter and then I just completely drop. Like I drop and I just like lose it. And I'm like, wow. So my first pick, I saw Atlanta pick me. So I was just like, you know what? Like, we'll take it. So I got excited. You know, I cried. I was super excited. My mom was shocked. My dad was so happy. Everyone celebrated for me. And then, yeah, I just wanted to wait to see if they were announcing. And then I was waiting. And then I just heard like Ricky's going to Atlanta. Oh, wait. He got traded. So I was like, wait, what? I was confused. So I was like, wait, huh? What's going on? And then I heard they got traded to Dallas and I heard they spent a lot. So I was like, wait, what's going on? And yeah, like I saw Dallas, you know, they called me, they called me and I was just like, you know, thank you. Like, I appreciate you guys. Like I'm just ready to work. And you know, we celebrated. We were just talking about like memories. I had Drip FC come down and interview my friends and family, how they meet me and stuff like that. And yeah, it was just a surreal like feeling, like knowing that, you know, how my career went from different pathways to now is just, it went amazing. And I'm just excited.
What have the conversations initially been like with Dallas? When are they telling you that you got to get your plane ticket? What are they telling you so far about when you got to show up and all that?
Yeah, they were just talking to me. I was talking to their sporting directors and all that, and just they were just saying like, you know, thank you. We're excited to have you here. I'm leaving January 10th to be there, so I'm super excited. And yeah, I'm just excited to work.
Does it seem like it was yesterday that you were bailing out of Fort Myers High School and going to Statesboro, or does it seem like it's been 2 years of hard work, your freshman and sophomore years at the Borough, to get you to this point?
Yeah, it was freshly like two hardworking years. So actually when I first, you know, got found and signed with Georgia Southern, like I was basically a walk-on. I took a gap year actually, so when I was going, I was talking to Lee. He was like, he's excited to have me here, but I think you should come in the spring. So I want you to take a gap year. And you know, as any other kid, I was confused. Like I was wondering why, like if you feel like I'm ready. And you know, he told me, like I look back on now, and it was only probably like the best decision I made in my career. He just thought like, you know, how the season's going and how like the people they have, it just wouldn't look best for me. So he wants me to, you know, get that polish up development more. So I went to academy called Strive. The head coach was Christian Nagu. He used to work at UNC Chapel, and you know, he helped us, you know, he trained us, and you know, he showed us all the ways of the college soccer ball, you know, from the practices, from how the games are and how to polish our touches, you know, in the games like that. And you know, we played a couple of decent teams like MLS Next teams, and you know, it was fun. So yeah.
When you go from freshman to sophomore year, you scored, I think it was 4 your freshman year. Then you finish up with 9+3 and 21 points as a sophomore. How do you think your game improved from freshman year at Southern to sophomore year at Southern to where you end up going second overall?
Yeah, I think I still look back at it now. I thought my freshman year was decent. I mean, I feel like still to this day, if I could rewind and take it back, I would. Yeah, I mean, right after my freshman season, I really told Lee, like, right after the game, like, after the season was over, like, hey, I want to work. Like, I wanted to, like, this is my passion. I want to work. So he was just telling me in the spring, that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a plan for you, and we want you to succeed. So literally on in the spring, I was just training every time after sessions, training by myself, getting the extra work in, extra finishes after training sessions, and that's all I wanted. And, you know, he gave me the opportunity saying, like, if you want to go pro, you got to get in the uncomfortable side of it. So he sent me out to USL2 Lionsbridge, which was amazing. I ended up playing left wing back. So that was embarked of a new journey. And, you know, I scored a lot of goals over there, and it was really fun. Like, I enjoyed it. And then, you know, just that killer mindset, knowing that I needed to make a update for my freshman season, because I felt like it wasn't much respect into me a little bit, because I thought obviously my freshman year was different, you know, of soccer, it was physicality, and you know, but it was a little bit of comfortability. It's just I didn't have that mentality of wanting it, and I knew my sophomore I wanted it more. So
you end up going with 9 goals, first team all Sun Belt, midseason watch list on the Herman, National Offensive Player of the Week for both top drawer and the Sun Belt for the activity that you had late in September when you get both goals over number 4 Marshall, and then academic honor roll. For someone who hasn't seen Fun Belt soccer, how would you break down how competitive the conference can be and how it improved you from your freshman to your sophomore year?
Yeah, my freshman year, it was definitely the speed of play, the physicality, and then just the different, talents from different countries. I was, for my first game, my first preseason game, I still remember it. I was nervous, first time being in the college field, having my friends and family there. And the first time I touched the ball, I just felt like my legs were noodles. Like, I never played the game of soccer ever in my life. And, luckily I had the opportunity to play with my friend Harvey from home. And, me and him basically kind of play the same. We know we're confident players. So when I saw him enjoying it, doing what he was used to, I knew if he could do it, then I could do it. So just more of the confidence side of not being worried about other people. And I just grew more confident. And I would say that there was a little bit of not that much hunger my freshman year. It was more like trying to understand the system and understand how college soccer is with, just different players, players that been in the pro, like MLS, and it's just different there. So that's why I wanted to train more in my sophomore year. And I just got the hunger of to score more. And I just saw every time I felt like in a position, I knew I could score. I knew I was just a good player that I wanted to be. And just using the abilities that I was good at, which was my pace, my dribbling, and a little bit of my strengths.
You got into it a little bit, but for someone who is a fan of FCD, is learning more about Major League Soccer, for someone who hasn't seen you play from your time there at Southern, how would you break down the kind of player that you are heading into this new chapter?
Yeah, my coach, I feel like, as a striker and a winger, my coach loves to use this word, I'm annoying to the back line, basically. I'll never stop running. I'll press you. I know when I get the ball, I'm always going at you. It will never be a decision to ever go back. I'm always coming at you. And I'm just making you uncomfortable in any shape of way. If that's running in behind, if that's pressing you, if that's 1v1, just any shape of way to be annoying.
Have you always been annoying, or did you develop into being annoying with your?
I felt like I've always been annoying outside of soccer, but I felt like I've always been that type of player that's just been a nuisance to the back line. I've always been taught just try to make everyone uncomfortable. So I want to be that player where you got to check your shoulders at every point of time, wondering where I'm at, trying to make sure that not to get the ball and, just be a nuisance.
How much more annoying can you get?
With the development, I'm probably going to get probably the most annoying player in the league, probably.
Nothing like being an MVP and annoying, though, but I imagine that's what Eric and the staff at FCD are looking for.
Yes, sir.
Have you had any initial conversations with him? What has that been like? Have you
guys? Yeah, I've talked to him. I've talked to him outside of the thing. He was on a cruise, actually, so it was interesting. But yeah, he wanted to call me. He was saying he was really excited. He was telling me that they've been looking at me for a long time, and I've been seeing on social media that I'm their guy. So it's a lot of a little bit of work that I got to show, but I'm excited, honestly. I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful and glad that they see this opportunity. And, from a guy who hasn't been playing in the MLS or any MLS academies for a club like Dallas to see me and really believe that I can really be a change in their club is really exciting.
So how difficult is it / was it for you to balance the academic and the athletic side? Because if you're academic honor roll, that means your nose is in a book and it's in a lot of books and you're trying to get your credit hours and everything. So how difficult was it to juggle all the time that you were investing in yourself athletically to get to this point of your life, but at the same time be academic honor roll? How tough is that?
It's a little bit tough, hard, especially, when you're winning a lot of games and you're trying to still be in that mojo, but you also know that still school will always be first before anything, because, outside of soccer, when it's done, then that you have another job to be going at. It's been a little bit difficult, but I just feel like with time management, organizing stuff, it'll be a little bit easier. I've always been in like the study hall in our school, just making sure how quick I can, you know, finish my work. Obviously try to finish it at the best grade I can, so I don't have to worry about it during like, you know, game hours. I would probably go in that study hall like 2 days before a game, try to finish those, so my mind is clear the day before or the day of the game, so I know when I'm ready, I'm ready.
What else do you think you need to work on so you can be ready at the next level? Because I know that you mentioned that growth from freshman to sophomore year, everything that happened in the sophomore year there in the borough. But now it's a different ball game. What do you think you still need to work on and improve on yourself, you think?
Yeah, I think I definitely need to improve on my discipline. I'm very a passionate guy. Like, I know that I want to try my hardest and be the best player I can, but my emotions can lead to the wrong. So I feel like if I just with composure and have patience, that would be better. And then just making sure, like, time management could always be better. Just making sure that everything is just – in line, you're not forgetting anything, and, you know, not being late to stuff, being extra an hour early, and just doing the right things.
Have you always been that fiery, emotional type when you're out there on the pitch? Have you always been wired that way?
Yeah, I just feel like I always want everyone. I feel like everyone wants to win, but I take winning very passionately. Like, I want to win as hard as I can. I want to make sure that everything I do is try to be right or make sure my gameplay is wrong. But, you know, I take losses very well. I'm starting to learn how to take losses more, but I try to just do the best I can and make sure that, you know, help my team win. And that's all I really care for.
When you have questions about how things are going for you on the field, training, discipline, all those kinds of things, who is, and you can mention names if you want, or you can just mention numbers of folks that you have on a speed dial. How many folks can you reach out to in a moment's notice to sit there and say, okay, I got a question about this. I got a question about this. Am I too hot-headed here? Am I being too much of a nuisance? When do I dial it back? When you have questions about yourself and your growth, who do you go to get those answers and feedback?
Yeah, I feel like with soccer, I feel like with George Southern, all my coaches, you know, would be on speed dial for me. They know that I really care about this sport. So they would help me in different ways, you know, how to relax my emotions, because there would be moments of time where I let my emotions take over my game, and they would help me out, like, knowing that, you know, there's still time in the game. Like, there's always time in the game. Like, just because you made a mistake doesn't mean it's the end of it. So just try to forget it and then carry on and make something happen. And then maybe outside of soccer, probably like another three, with my teammate KP, you know, he's always been there since day one. Since I first got there, he's helped me out. He showed me the ropes. He shows me how it is. He shows me the area. And, you know, he showed me on and off the field, like, how to just control my emotions and, you know, just be a better person.
What's it like to get that kind of feedback where you sit there and you're wired one way and you think that's the way you're supposed to be, but then somebody comes up and taps you and goes, like, just kind of dial it back a little bit? Because I know that we take our personality seriously and we don't want to deviate from what makes us successful. But then you got somebody, you know, like KP, who sits there and kind of goes, you know, you kind of need to, like, dial it back a sec. What's it like to get that kind of feedback that you think might be counterintuitive but does end up helping you out?
Yeah, I feel like it's really good. I mean, when I was a kid, I was never really the type of person to talk about my feelings and talk about a lot of things in my life, which I would try to keep it myself and deal with it. But I've been learning more now to just, like, communicate, and talking to people could be the best options. Yeah, it's been great having someone to kind of, like, either understand how I'm feeling and trying to, like, reel it down to more, you know, peaceful and sensitive type of topic. So I'm really glad to have some people on my shoulders that can really help me out in any different type of moments.
So, KP, if memory serves, didn't he get picked by NYC?
Yes, sir, he did.
So what was that conversation like with you and KP? It's like, so you're heading to the Bronx and I'm heading to Texas. What was that conversation
like? Yeah, like, it was really good. Like, from the way he started his career, like, I called him, I told him, like, I'm so proud. Like, from day one, you've been here at this school, like, from the ground up. And, like, I'm so proud of you. Like, you deserve this. You worked hard. And, yeah, we were just talking about, like, what's the next step looking like, how we're going to polish things up, what's our mindset's going to be like, how we're, like, this is our lives now. Like, and we got to make sure, like, we can take the most of it as much as we can.
Obviously, this is probably one of the best Christmas presents you could have ever gotten, going number two overall. How do you top this at Christmas? Is everybody sitting there going, you're buying gifts now? No, you're the one who's going to be paying for dinner. What's Christmas?
Yeah, it's been a lot like that. Most of them have been saying like we're going to Dallas, so that's been the most funniest topic, that we're all going to Dallas. But yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, they know that I was kind of the ticket to, you know, to do that. But yeah, it's been all jokes and vibes. It's been funny when they be saying that. So yeah.
Well, congratulations. Obviously, we've been following what's been going on there in the Fun Belt down in the borough the last couple of seasons. Congratulations on the new bio blast that's going to be added to it with everything happening in Dallas. Thanks for dropping by the morning show in SDH. You know we're going to be keeping an eye on you. You know we're going to be ringing you up pretty well. Thanks for dropping by as always.
Thank you so much.
It's always great to catch up with draft picks, and thanks once again to Edwin Pintor and our friends at FC Dallas for orchestrating that interview kind of on the hop after Super Draft happened. And
tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Parachuting in to find out what's going on in a very, very busy time for the number two overall pick, Ricky Lewis. This is the Best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. Next up, it is that time to make that first impression. And for AC Boise, it is an attempt to do it as they're getting ready, hitting the ground at about 5,000 miles an hour with all these different things they have to do to try to make sure that they are ready by match day one in that trip to Sarasota, Florida, coming up in March in 2026 as they start their life in wins and losses in USL League One. So what about appearances and what about how you look? How is AC Boise going to look on the field? For that and for the development of that entire process to get us to where we are now, we catch up with Chief Marketing Officer and Lead Kit Designer for AC Boise, Jenny Tellaria, and find out what it's like to design a kit for those first impressions in professional soccer. There's only one time that you get to be a first-year club. And it was really cool to kind of see where things are with what used to be Boise Pro Soccer, and that's where they are on the Twitters. But AC Boise, as they're building, you know, we always look at the on-the-field stuff. Okay, who are your players? Who are your coaches? What's it going to look like? What's the building going to be? What you know, all those things.
one of the things we don't look like, well, that we really don't look like, look at enough is the jersey. We always sit there, and as Atlanta United folks, you look at that five-stripe kid. Then you look at the other kids, the concrete and cherry pie or strawberry or whatever, and the 404 and all the others. But that first kit, you got to build on that because that's your identity going forward. And for us, it was a real treat. AC Boise's kind of opened their doors to us a little bit. And we got to talk to the coach when it was announced. We're getting, you know, talking staff, talking all these things. But what about the idea of the jersey that's a part of the fabric of everything? So we catch up with their current chief marketing officer, Jenny Tellaria, lead kit designer as they roll things out. And so we kind of went a little kit nerdy today with this particular interview, the whole build about it and the feedback and all that kind of stuff. Because at the end of the day, you're talking to artists who are trying to create something that is going to have a lasting legacy. And so this was where the conversation starts with Jenny Tellaria, the chief marketing officer and lead kit designer at AC Boise. She also has her own agency there in Boise itself. But what is it like to create something from scratch that is going to be the identity of a club from day one? Here's our conversation with Jenny Tellaria and AC Boise about how they're doing just that. Time to catch up with someone who's got a far better background than I think I ever could have, Jenny Tellaria. And how many different sides of the business card, Jenny, do we currently operate when it comes to everything that's going on right now? Let me see if I've got this. So chief marketing officer right now for AC Boise, lead kit designer, and we're going to talk about that, for the really cool AC Boise kit for first year. And obviously, the grand exalted poobah, person in charge, owner extraordinaire at Against, the creative consultancy for Rebel Brands based in Boise, Idaho. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so. I like your take on it. That's a much grander title than I actually have. But yeah, I just, you know, I wake up every morning and I log on and answer a bunch of emails. So, and I don't necessarily know what persona I have when I'm answering those emails all the time, but we get it done somehow.
Right there with you. The reason that we brought you on is because there are a lot of different aspects of creation, and when it comes to a franchise coming online, a lot of folks will sit there and they'll go, okay, yeah, it's players, it's a stadium, it's all the on-the-field stuff, but I don't think a lot of folks quite understand all of the off-the-field elements that go into it, and something that is a part of the presentation of a brand and a franchise and all of that that goes into this. And that's why I wanted to bring you in to discuss the build of the jersey and the kit and all of these things. How did they knock on your door to sit there and go, Jenny, we want you to be a part of this? How did this happen first and foremost?
Well, first of all, we actually started this process 10 years ago. I've been in contact with currently the CEO now, when this was just a dream of his. And he lives in Boise. I live in Boise. And that's how we were connected. And I think I'd worked with him on another project that was completely unrelated to what is now currently Athletic Club Boise. At the time, it didn't have a name. And in fact, I was searching through some old files the other day and found some of the original sketches that we had from 2015. And I can tell you that what we ended up with looks absolutely nothing like those original sketches. But the whole process of building a team can take a very, very long time. And, you know, at one point it just starts off as a dream, and then here we are today, and we are going to be, you know, kickoff is happening here shortly and terrifyingly, because you should see my list of things that I still have to do and check off.
Oh, okay. So how deep is that list? Is it on a hidden 6-foot by 8-foot long dry erase board with a bunch of different colors and arrows, or where is this to-do list getting ready for the season?
You know, it lives in lots of different places, in a lot of sticky notes all over, and of course digitally. And it's not just me. I have a full team of incredibly talented, wonderful human beings who help get all of this done. And there's no way any of this would certainly happen without them. They keep me in check and make sure that I'm where I need to be as well, and getting the things done that I need to get done. Yeah, it's lots of lists.
how many iterations are we talking about here from original design? Okay, AC Boise's coming online, you know, trumpets and fanfare and everything. They knock on your door. All right, we're serious. Let's get this done. How many different iterations of this idea did we come up with before you settled on what you settled on?
Well, hundreds, genuinely, hundreds of designs. And again, it wasn't just me from the very beginning. I had a whole team of designers who were working on the identity. And we started with, you know, when you launch a team, it's not called, it doesn't have a name yet. So we launched with Boise Pro Soccer, which is kind of the vernacular that USL launches with when they announce a new team. It's City Pro Soccer. So before it was Athletic Club Boise, it was Boise Pro Soccer. And we, you know, Boise, I don't know how much you know about Boise or if you've ever been to Boise. It's a very tight-knit community. People love Boise. And so we knew from the very beginning that we wanted to make sure we involved our community. So we did a lot of listening sessions where we showed up with big boards that had all of these photos of things that were relevant and important to Boise. And we gave everyone these little dots and said, okay, put your sticker dot on the images or the things that you felt like were the best representation of Boise. And so the community really help us narrow that big list of possibilities of what's going to be involved and what's going to go into this crest. And so from there, we have this list of things, you know, items or emblems or symbols. And from there, we set out to sketch lots of different iterations and ways those pieces and parts can come together. And I think we went through, gosh, six rounds of design. And within each of those six rounds, you know, you just start narrowing. We started with, I think, you know, from a designer perspective, you're sketching hundreds, and those hundreds never get seen like the light of day because most of them are crap, right? And you narrow it down to a few that you think, okay, this is presentable to the client. So we present it to the team and the CEO, and they decide which ones they like. And often that's a Franken design, or what we call Franken design as designers, which is, I like this piece of this mark and I like this piece of this crest, and can we push those together? And then from there, we ultimately end up with what you see today and what you just shared on the screen. But it did not look like that initially. It went through some pretty ugly stages first.
how large a team are we talking about here when it comes to the collaborative process on your end and sitting in one of those rooms that I imagine that is the, you know, the big glass window and the hermetically sealed room with the equally glass table and the long chairs? How many folks were on your team that were collaborating in this whole process?
There were three specific designers that were actually, you know, pen to paper, who were sketching and coming up with concepts. But the team surrounding us is, there's a team of seven on the marketing team that are doing everything, bringing everything to life. And then, of course, from the soccer side and operations side, there's a much larger team. But it's a startup, so we're small and scrappy. And, you know, from the very beginning, it's just a few people who are doing everything. And then you slowly start to bring more people on and divide and conquer. And but it's you know, behind the scenes, it's a really small group of people who make these things happen and pull it off. And, you know, but it's, I don't know if you can see the bags under my eyes, but we don't sleep much.
Well, and I mean, there are always the stories that are attached to the logos and the color schemes and things like that. When it came to the write-up and the analysis of, okay, this isn't just this color palette, it has this meaning that's attached to it. How much research and depth of field went into describing, okay, it's not just a basic color, there's a story that's attached to it. It's not just a logo, there's mm-hmm. meaning behind it that has to do with actual things that are indigenous to the Boise area. How much thought goes into all of that process?
I love that you brought that up, because not a lot of people understand that. They just see the finished piece and, you know, people love it or they hate it, and you're going to have the whole spectrum. And the reality is there is a lot of thought and strategy and symbolism and meaning that goes into the work that is done. You know, good designers, in fact, every single decision is built on meaning, and it's intentional. And is everyone who sees the mark going to recognize that? No. But as a designer, we need to have something to build off of and to start with. And so, yeah, we're again, we pulled the community, and they identified the things like farming. Boise is a has a rich history of agriculture. And so we knew that we wanted to somehow incorporate that into it. And sometimes it shows up in very realistic ways. Obviously, our Falcon bolt, like that's, it's still abstract, but it's recognizable, right? Well, the lines in our crest, that those are symbolic of agriculture lines. It's more abstract, but it still has that reference point and that symbolism behind it.
And you mentioned the agriculture fields, as we have the logo up here once again. The agriculture fields, low left in the southwest corner. You have valleys and mountain peaks on the north and the south. The star garnet, you have you mentioned the peregrine falcon that's attached to it. And one of the things that I didn't know, and this is part of that education process, is the Basque influence. I didn't know that going into this process.
Yeah, Boise has the largest population of Basque people outside of the Basque country. And that is something that all Boiseans are proud of, whether or not you have a Basque background or not. My husband's Basque, Talaria, is a Basque name. So I get the pleasure of walking down. We have an area in Boise called the Basque Block that has a Basque museum, a lot of Basque restaurants, and, all of the founders are the original Basque people who came to Boise. Their name is engraved in the sidewalk. And so Tulare is one of those names, which is kind of fun.
So when you get into these ideas, then you've got to find the right kit manufacturer that will understand where you're coming from and they get you. How long was that search out process of sitting there? It's like, well, yeah, we think that we'll go with so-and-so or they'll go with so-and-so. It ends up being Hummel, but how many conversations are you having about folks? No, I don't think they get us. Yeah, they get us and we'll go here. What's that conversation
mm-hmm. like? Yeah, and I can only speak to that on the surface. Honestly, that was the CEO's job. He was part of those conversations. And we did look at quite a number of kit providers and ultimately went with Hummel, and Hummel's been great. And I don't know how much your audience or you know about the kit design process, but different providers or different kit manufacturers, they have, some of them have very standard templates and certain things that you can look at from designing. One of the things that makes Hummel so unique is you can customize everything from the shape of the collar to the cuts on the sleeves to the material on the cuffs. Quite literally every element and aspect of it is customizable, which is both wonderful and can be intimidating as a designer. When everything's a possibility, it's like, oh my, where do I start?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you end up with the finished product, and then you end up with final, and it's about ready to go out into the community. I imagine it's exhilarating, nerve-wracking. You want to hide in a corner, but you want to be out in front to see what everybody's thinking. I imagine if there's curtains, you're probably hiding behind them one moment, and then you're pulling at your face, like the face bit where you sit there and it's only your face that's out, and you kind of go back like this. When it turns into something that's final, and you're getting ready for that presentation, is it as nerve-wracking as I anticipate, because now you don't get that second chance to make the first impression and it's out there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And sports fans are fanatics, right? Yeah, you're going to have people who love it and you're going to have people who absolutely hate it. And obviously, it was important for us to make sure that we were involving the community and making sure that we were representing the brand in a way that they were going to love. And I think one of the kits here, one of the important
things. There you go.
I was going to put it on, but then I'm like, but then I won't be able to, use it as a prop. So, so because it's our inaugural season, it was important to us that all of our kits are going to be grounded in the narrative of our crest. Right. And so this particular kit, and I don't know if you can see, my lighting's not super great here.
Good. You got it.
But this our home kit is our peregrine falcon kit. So everything was inspired by the peregrine falcon. So there's a pattern that's heat sublimated or heat pressed rather.
Oh, wow.
On the front, and that's, it's, you can't really see it. It's only subtle and comes out in different light. And that is representative of the plumage of the peregrine falcon. And then, we're making decisions on everything. Like the direction that the pattern is going in is the direction that the falcon is from our crest.
Yeah.
Nerdy things like that nobody cares about. But as a designer, You know, those are the things that we nerd out about. And, you know, we're picking, you know, what's the material that this piece is in? Like, this is a 3D printed layer ink, all the way, you know, to our crest, which is right. A silicone with tatami background. Yeah. So, you know, you're picking out all of those things and hoping it comes together, because you don't really see it in its final form until it shows up in the box on your in your office.
Yeah, well, and all right. So then walk me through that day when that box shows up and all of the stuff that you've pieced together, you and the team have pieced together, the box shows up for the first time. You obviously, there's the box cutter, but you don't want to take the box cutter and go too deep because you don't know how far they stacked it. You don't want to do any damage. So it's like box cutter comes out, you make that slice, you open it up. What was the reaction when you opened the box for the first time on the final?
I mean, it makes you feel like Christmas when you're a little kid. It was really exciting. And the first thing you do is you pull it out and you're holding it up and looking at it from a distance. And then you're diving in and like, how does that look? And is the, you know, how's the fabric here? And you go over it with a fine tooth comb, and it was pretty exciting to see it come to life. And then also to see other people's reactions. I think that was the most exciting part, that the community really responded well, and it was really well received, which, whew, thank goodness.
Well, and I mean, what the initial print run was, what, 5,000? Is that right? Mm-hmm. And I've heard a vicious rumor that it's difficult to keep them in stores. This thing is moving, and there's a lot of town pride and there's a lot of team pride that's attached to it. And the fact that it is being received as well as it is, obviously speaks to all of that development that goes back 10 years to where you are now. I mean, yeah, it does seem like it is one of those Christmas moments, but I don't know how many folks quite understood going in that, yeah, this is as integral as the on the field product. And we're catching up with the coaches and everything. We're catching up with front office folks. Mm-hmm. What's it like to be a part of that build and have the team sit there and go, man, this really is, we've locked this in, this is here, everybody's digging it, and we're that much closer to really being a part and showing all of this off to the soccer community.
I mean, being a part of this team has been absolutely incredible, and it is a very tight-knit group of people who are making all of this happen, both on the Athletic Club Boise side and then on the marketing against side of things. We're one team. We really consider ourselves one team, and there's emails flying and text messages that are coming in at all hours of the night, and, you know, sharing things that we're seeing online and saying, oh, we should do this. This is really cool. But it is really exciting. There's a lot of energy. And if anybody's ever been a part of a startup, it's that energy. This is it's a startup company. It's a startup team. And you just roll up your sleeves, you dive in. Sometimes you're, you know, taping up signs. You're doing everything when you're small and starting.
How many startups have you been a part of? Have you always thought of yourself as a builder of things?
Yeah, my background's in design, and as a designer, that is, you're building things. You're starting from nothing and figuring out how are you putting these disparate pieces together to create meaning and putting that out into the world. So, you know, my company Against is a startup, or I guess it's 6 years old, but it was a startup at one point. And I've worked with lots of different brands and startups, not necessarily on the startup team, but as their marketing partner. And startups are a unique beast.
I was going to ask, what's the is there like one misconception that folks may just sit there that it just magically happens? Is that probably like the biggest misconception of a startup, that, oh, it just magically appears and everything's fine? What's the biggest misconception in a startup, you think?
That's a good question. Probably that there's not a lot of thought that how does this happen? People see the end result, right? They see the end piece, but they don't see all the consternation and the debates and the tears that happen behind the scenes. And everything, there's a decision behind everything. And everything's designed. I mean, quite literally everything that we're doing is designed from the ground up.
When you're back home in Boise, and now that the reveal has happened and the season ticket holders and all the heavy stakeholders, they had the big presentation, they're wearing the scarves, they come by, they get their jersey. What's it like for you now to go walking around in Boise and you're seeing people wearing those jerseys out in the just casual. It's like, hey, I'm going to a sports bar. You know, I might be on my way to the blue turf to go check something out, and they're wearing that jersey. And you, do you kind of sit there and kind of tilt your head sideways and give it a bit of a sly look, or do you sit there and are you going, man, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 8? What's it like for you and the team now to go walking around in town and seeing folks wearing these things leading into this first season?
There's definitely a sense of pride, and it's working. They like it. The community's in on this. As someone who's creating something from nothing, it's always cool when you see it live out there in the world. I remember the first time I designed a magazine ad that, you know, ran an outside magazine. I was like so excited as a young designer. I'm like, that's so cool.
I mean, when you have moments like this, and you're a part of this build that is a part of this foundation that is going to be a part of this legacy. I mean, there are a lot of these building blocks that you and your team have been a part of now to have something like this happen. How many folks sit there and they walk up to you and it's like, okay, so what are you going to do for an encore? Is there any patience in this at all? Or are they just, it's like, come on. It's like, all right, you got the first one. Let's get the next one going. Or are folks just kind of sitting there and going, all right, let's get this. Let's be grounded about this whole thing. We've got to launch the team. They've got to start playing. Or are they looking to continue to churn on the hamster wheel? How many folks sit there and tap you on the shoulder and go, this is great. What are you going to do now?
Oh, yeah. Everybody wants what's next, right? We're the same. We're like, all right, moving on. I mean, we don't have time to sometimes bask in the excitement of it. We're like, all right, that's done. Moving on to all the other things that need to get done. And, you know, our home kit's done, and we've been in the background while this was in production. We were behind the scenes working on the away kit and the keeper kits and the home or the third kit and all of those things. So, you know, the excitement is still happening. We see packages that are showing up at our office with proofs of, let's see, what are we working? What was the proof we just got? We just got our very first proof of a keeper kit.
Okay.
And I actually haven't even seen it. I've been in Vegas. My team opened it up. And so I had them send me videos and photos so we could see what it was looking like, because we're down to the wire now where we've got to start turning approvals around so that we can make sure that our team has something to wear when they roll up for their first game.
And I mean, I think that's the other part of this that folks may not necessarily compute, is that you've got to be ready for that first home game. Okay, cool. You got to be ready for that first away game, whenever that is. And that means that the players have to wear it. They've got to be comfortable with it. They've got to be ready to go. All these stages, as we were talking about earlier, it's not magic. It's like it is magic to create it, but it's not magic to get it done. So it's created and in a physical sense. And so it's real world deadlines, and you're going up against it here. And I give you a lot of credit, you and the team, a lot of credit for all of the sleepless nights that you're going through to sit there. And it's like, yeah, okay, away kit needs to be like this. Home kit's here. How far off of the base do we go for the third? Are the players, are the keepers, let me ask you this, for the keeper kit, are there any goalkeepers around that are sitting there and saying, yeah, let's go this color, this color, this color? What's the feedback from the team?
Well, when we're designing it, we don't have a team, right? Like, team recruitment is happening at the same time that we're building and designing right. these things. So we're relying on the actual staff or those team members who obviously have been players and have a lot of background, and the coach, and those individuals are weighing in and saying, yeah, keepers won't like that. But we didn't have keepers right. when we were designing this.
It's like, can we go over to Boise State and kind of swear them to secrecy and have the keeper? So when, I guess, what's the timelines now? Obviously you sell out at Christmas, and then that means that Hummel's got to reproduce everything. What are your self-imposed deadlines to have things ready for the rest of us to sit there and go, all right, so when are you holding up the next jersey for the next interview? What are your self-imposed deadlines now?
Well, there's a spreadsheet that has a lot of dates on it that are very quickly arriving. But even before we get to the point of where we've got the kits and the players are wearing them, or we're selling the away kits, we've got media day. And so that's a day where the team, where they're coming together, they're putting on all of the various kits, and we're taking photos and videos and getting their signatures on things. That happens well before the game even happens. And that's happening, you know, a month before kickoff. And so there's a whole bunch of things that have to happen before anybody even rolls out onto the field with wearing that kit.
Have you had a chance to catch your breath at all?
I don't do well when I don't have anything to do. So I like that pace. I like the energy. I like the go, go, go. If I sit down and there's nothing to work on, I'm like, I create chaos, right? So it's just better if there is chaos. Otherwise, I'll just create it.
We cannot thank you enough for pulling back the curtain on something like this to kind of walk everybody through this this branding and marketing 101. This actually is probably for those of us on this side, it's probably branding and marketing 101. On your side, it is probably the PhD level course in getting something done. So AC Boise can look the look and walk the walk and talk the talk. Jenny, I can't thank you enough for pulling back the curtain a little bit, breaking everything down and kind of letting everybody know that there's a story behind the story that we see and the story that we get to learn about as we go. And we can't wait to see how things continue to develop there at AC Boise, and can't wait to see all of this stuff sell out and be all over the place. And you become incredibly, incredibly rich and famous. And they sit there and it's like, okay, so here's next. So that kind of stuff. Can't thank you enough for dropping by for the education. We really appreciate it, especially with you being on the road and being away from the office and trying to get things done like 19 different ways. Can't thank you enough for doing this. We really appreciate it here on the morning show.
Well, thanks for inviting me and thanks for being interested and curious, and I'll be back anytime.
Thanks to Jenny, especially. She was in Las Vegas. For those of you who will go on the video side and watch the segment.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
As it aired on SDHAM, she's in Vegas and had a fantastic backdrop as she was there with her children and trying to keep an eye on them athletically as they continue to grow. And so she was in Vegas and took time out of her incredibly busy schedule to catch up with us and find out what our questions were about what her development was all about, her and the team at Against, and trying to find out what AC Boise had in mind when it came to developing a kit. And we got the bit of the ground story there when it came to AC Boise through the eyes and the kit shown by Jenny Tilaria of the franchise. You're listening to the Best of SDHAM here on the Soccer Down Here Network. Thanks for hanging out with us however you're doing so. Large device or small, 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app and the Off the Woodwork podcast section of 92.9 The Game. Last up, it is a time to kind of start taking a look back at 2025. And for that, we bring in our friend Nino Torres, who joins us on Thursdays traditionally, unless there are holidays that kind of get in the way. And then he joins us when we can grab a hold of it. And so here's our conversation that we had with Nino about some of his great storylines that stuck with him throughout the year 2025 on both sides of the Atlantic. As is always the case, Nino Damas sends me notes that I don't look at, so that way we can all react together. And so I scroll down, and I see that he has sent me things. And so it is the 2025 year in review of each league that he calls on Gold TV. And it's always fun to catch him on Gold TV because we can have conversations with him while he's calling games on Gold TV, which is always fun.
The home improvement thing, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You like that? I love that. Yeah, it's like get that workbench and get it rolling. So topic number one, the renaissance. I feel like I should straighten up when I say the renaissance of Porto. What was this big story with Absolutely. Porto this year? We know it, but when you break down the renaissance, what was it like to be in front of it?
It was so exciting to have the third big team in competition again, because for the past, I want to say, 3 years, it was that they were going down the hill. Every year it was getting worse and worse and worse. Then they got Anselmi, and Anselmi could never translate all his knowledge. I mean, it was like they were lost in translation in some way, somehow, that the message never landed in the right place in the right minds. And of course, the defense was deteriorating year after year after year, and it got worse when after Pepe retired. After Pepe retires, you know, that defense was like, where's the leader? Oh, do we have a general here? No, we don't have the only soldiers, brother. We need a general here. We need a quarterback here. Where were they at? All right. So Vilas Boas said, you know what? Martin Anselmi, thank you for your services. Yeah, we expecting something else from you in the World Cup of Clubs, and it was a disaster. Of course, that didn't help at all with them. And then they went to get Farioli, right? Went ahead and got Farioli, signed him from Ajax, and then they got the two best signings in the league this year are the two center backs from Porto. You know, Bednarek and Kivior. Mm-hmm. They have been as I nicknamed them, they are the Polish cyborgs. Sometimes I'm thinking, are these guys human? Do they feel anything? Huh? Because they're so cold-blooded, you cannot believe these guys how focused they are. Like they're cyborgs, man. They're just cyborgs. They don't sweat. I don't know. But they make a big, big impact in Porto, considering only three goals in the first 15 rounds of the competition. That says it all. So they went. It was a massive, massive renaissance. And I was shocked when I read all the previews while I was doing the prep time for the first round of the competition, and I was all the journalists from Europe were like, who do you think is going to win the next year? Porto was like, what am I missing here? Am I missing something? Did I just watch a different World Cup of Clubs, or what happened here? And that happened. You know, those signings, the coach, the everything lined up perfectly for the Dragons, and now we can see him leading. You know, they're 5 points away. They're going to play again. They play again Estrella Amador. They're going to put the ball on three. So they're going to basically be the winners of the champion, the winner champions, right? They're not going to winter champions in Portugal. And like I said last week, you know, it's over. I think whoever's leading in Portugal, They sustain the lead. Once the number one team gets the number one spot, it's over. It's over. There's no looking back.
The Polish Terminators.
Yeah.
Kivior and Bednarek, who come over from the Premier
League, and Porto picks them up, and they're just locking. They have no feelings. They have no pity, and they absolutely will not stop. I was trying to remember the line from the movie The Terminator when Kyle was talking to Michael Biehn's talking to Linda Hamilton, and he's trying to explain what Terminators are, and it's like they have no feelings. They absolutely will not stop.
Yeah.
So you've got. You have two T-1000s at the back.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I'm going to hang on to that. Okay, so we now go to Uruguay.
Yeah.
Topic number two. And like I said, I'm seeing this for the first time. That's the fun of this segment. Nacional from zero to hero in Uruguay. Break that down for us in 25.
So for all the fans here from Soccer Down Here, I don't know if you guys know how the Uruguayan championship works, because in any other country in the planet, if there's three tournaments and you don't win any of the three, why would you win anything, right?
Right,
that doesn't make any sense, right? Of course not. You know, I won the first round. Oh no, you didn't win that one. Oh, I win the no, I didn't win that one. Oh, but I won the championship. How's that happen? All right, so
Here's how it happened. You went into a business office.
Yeah.
And you sat there and you went, well, what about us? And you come out with a trophy. Please explain.
No, but that's in Argentina, brother. That's a different one. That was
a country.
That's in Argentina. That's a different story. But that's another story of the year that we should talk about that too. But no, in Uruguay. So basically, in Uruguay, the system is designed to get as many clásicos as they can. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's designed for that specifically. We need how many clásicos? We got five. No, we need seven. We need seven. Figured out a way to get seven clásicos out of the year between Peñarol and Nacional. All right, let's do this. All right. So in Uruguay, the system works like this. There's three tournaments, right? Apertura, Intermedio, and Clausura.
Intermedio.
And also, there's also the annual table. So basically, it's like the fourth tournament or something, or the wild card tournament. I don't know. Whatever. Oh, all right. So if you win the Apertura, right, it doesn't guarantee you're going to be winning the championship. If you win the Intermedio, the only thing that guarantees you is that you're going to play the Supercopa, which is the winner of the Intermedio and the winner of the year. Okay? Just stay with me, guys. Stay with me.
All right.
And there's a Clausura. There's the third tournament of the season. All right. So if for some reason that I never witnessed that situation where one team wins the Apertura, the Intermedio, the Clausura, and the annual table, there's no playoffs, no nothing. But of course, that's delusional to believe that's going to happen. So Peñarol wins the Apertura. Mm-hmm. In fantastic fashion. Then wins the Liverpool wins the Apertura. And then Peñarol wins the Intermedio and the Clausura. All right. So Peñarol wins two tournaments, should be the winner. No. Because at the end of the year, somewhere somehow Nacional managed to get more points than Peñarol. All right. So not only that, so because Nacional didn't win any of the tournaments, had to play a playoff against Liverpool. They beat Liverpool, and then they beat Peñarol in the finals, and that's why Nacional, without winning anything in the year, gets the trophy in Uruguay. Doesn't make any sense, but in some way, somehow it does, because they got clásicos. They got two more clásicos out of the season, and that's the main goal. That's the main goal, basically, in Uruguay, you know?
Oh, brother.
it's crazy.
That's the best way I can phrase it. All right, so we go from Uruguay to Universitario. The Band of Brothers did it again. Copa America, and this is subplot, America in the U.S. again. That's topic number four. So anyway, Universitario, the Band of Brothers did it again.
This is crazy, right? Because this is a team that a few years ago, when was that? 2018, 2019 season were probably the worst years for Stereo in this millennium. And they almost got relegated, but they pulled it off and they sustained, and then they survived, right? And then they have to witness Alianza winning back-to-back titles, 2021, 2022. But we weren't there. No, we were there. Just, all right, let him be. Let him celebrate. So the year that we're supposed to win the three-peat, that was in 2023, when Universitario became so strong with Fossati. You know, we didn't hire superstars. No, we didn't hire superstars. No, we only got a few signings. We got a good coach. And we ruined their three-peat. So no three-peat for Alianza. Then the next year, we lose the coach. We lost the coach because he went to the national team. It was a disaster for him, for Fossati, in the national team. Mm-hmm. Didn't win a single game. And we got another coach, Fabian Bustos, who wins the tournament. But then he left us too. I don't know, man. I don't know how, after you winning a championship, you leave the club. And then they get another coach, wins the championship. Oh, sorry, I got another offer from Olympia Paraguay. I'm going to go to Olympia because they offer me, I don't know, how many, $5,000 or $50,000 or whatever $1,000 more than here. Okay, so we got back Fossati for this year. And in those 3 years, Johnny, we never make a big splash in signings for the league. Never. So it was just the collective effort. Like I mentioned, it's the band of brothers all together, all everything, everyone and everything focused on one goal and one goal only in the three-peat. And they got it done in a month. It was a month before of the tournament when we started won the championship, right? With two games on hand, you know, they got up, then Alianza Lima and Cristal, they got to play the playoffs, which they lost. Alianza and Cristal, not in no Peru to in the Copa Libertadores FC, the team that's going with Universitario Deportes to a group stage. And everything that I'm going to say, the asset for this team, it's a brotherhood. It's a brotherhood, shoulder to shoulder, you know, the rubbing elbows, and that's the only way that they win the championships, because the Universitario is not, you don't see a team that is brilliant, right? You don't see a team that is, you know, fantastic. No. They stay together, they got the job done, and go figure it out how to score a goal on them. All right. That's the only way that they do it. And it's in the DNA of Universitario de Portos. We are blue collar people, brother. We are, you know, hard workers, we got the wrenches, and we got the titles. And we got most titles than everyone else in this country, man. That's the only way that we know.
Well, and looking at your contract decisions, Churin, Britos, and Costa are out of contract, so they're out the door.
Yeah,
they're gone. Churin is 36, Britos is 37, Gabriel Costa is 35. They're out the door, out of contract. See you later. Don't want to be. You have only three other contracts that are out at the end of this season. Jairo Velez, Amet Calderon, and Jefferson Rodriguez. So it's two keepers and an attacking mid, and that's it for contracts that end in 5 days. That's it.
That's it. They already guaranteed all the rest of the roster. They resigned the renewals. Everybody said, basically, we have the same group of players for the next year, and we're trying to figure it out now. It's crazy because in this silly season, how do they keep those names on behind doors, behind closed doors, behind locked doors? Because media is asking, oh, there's this name and that name. Yeah, no, that one is not coming. No, that one is not coming. That one's not. This is crazy because any other team like Sporting Cristal and Alianza Lima, oh yeah, we signed this guy. They already got like seven or eight players each team to try to stop when they started from winning four in a row, okay? Because if this is the big story of the year in the Liga 1 Peru, in the professional era, there's no team that has won the title 4 years in a row. And that's the big goal of next year, to be the only team in the entire league to win four in a row. And they're going after for it.
And there's a player that our MLS audience might remember, in Andy Polo, who is
Andy Polo, yeah, from Portland.
And so Andy Polo is a part of this. But I think really your decisions come next season, this time next year, because it looks like there are 13 players who have a contract decision
at the end of the
next year.
Right.
And so you're looking at Calcaterra, Corzo, Andy Polo, Martin Perez Guedes, Ureña, Vargas, Rivera, Murugarra, Concha, Ancajima, Valera, Astudillo, Guzman, Dioses, and Renjifo, who are
those last three, they're academy players.
Okay. So, yeah, 17, 20, and 18. So, basically, so it's 10 who are not academy, or Astudillo is an academy player at the age of 20, so he's probably maxing out. So you've got like 9 dudes who are above the age of 22 that you got to think about next year, and 4 academy guys that you got to think about at the end of next year.
Right.
So, transfer market, it's a beautiful thing.
There you go. Yeah. I love it, man. I love it.
Laying it all out. Okay. So America in the U.S. again. Yeah, it's probably going to happen. We were looking at it last time. It was a blast to have it here. I'm not going to lie. It was a blast to have it here, but it might be just because of stability, just when it comes to venues and being able to churn something out and then have just the number of joints that you can have available to you. And it's probably coming to the U.S. again. You mentioned this one too.
Yeah. And it's going to, if it comes, it's going to be the same year of the Olympics, man. Hmm. The Olympics and the Copa America at the same time. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I've loved the competitions in the U.S. This is, you know, it's fantastic. But they got big stadiums. We got stadiums in Brazil, in Argentina, in Chile, in Colombia, even here in Peru. All these countries are perfectly capable of hosting a Copa Americas, which we've been doing for like forever, and only in this millennium is when the looks turn around and see the U.S. and look at that arena in Atlanta, look at that Levi's Stadium, look at that New Jersey, how many people can fit in here? Oh yeah, so if you go to Brazil, I mean not Brazil, but let's see Peru.
Yeah,
you got to go to Peru. You got only the Nacional and the Monumental. You got 80,000 seats, and you got 50,000 seats on the other one, but that's it. You don't have another venue with over 50,000 people, which in the case of the U.S., I understand. I get it. It's from the business standpoint, it's obviously a win-win.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, all the fans, all the tourism that comes to the country and everything else, but it's ours, man. You know, it's coming ball. It's South America, and it's a different story when you let's go to Ecuador, right? Ecuador Copa America. When was the last time? Freaking 1993. That was the last time that Ecuador hosted a Copa America. They got brand spanking new stadiums now, also in Ecuador. They can do it in Ecuador. I'm just throwing a name right now, a country, but it's a different story. It's a different vibe, you know. It's local. It's local. It feels like it's our tournament, not like that. We're gonna be the visitors in our tournament. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of thing that it gets me. You know, it gets me, but. And plus, how many Copa Americas is this going to be the third one, right?
I think so. This would be
number three. In a decade? In a decade, you got 3 Copa Americas in a decade. That's come on, man. That's a little too much.
Huh? Well, but let me present a theory. You can bring the helicopters in that are painted black as you wish. You can, you know, that noise you hear behind me are those helicopters that are coming in. I think it might have to do with this one dude and the fact that he plays for Argentina currently and the fact that he plays in Major League Soccer currently. I would sit here and, you know, put the thinking cap on that once this gentleman's playing time is through, unless you end up with yet another individual that is as impactful as he is,
it's going to be a while before the Copa America comes back to the United States. And so this, what you're probably doing is maxing out the the corporate ability of maxing things out financially, woman who is okay at the soccer ring based in your country. And so, I mean, unless you, I mean, who could be, you know, who could be that next generational talent that could bring the Copa America back once he retires? I don't know who that placeholder is. I don't know who that next dude is. So you're going into this new frontier known as, you know, the United States to get more, to obviously get more dollars for both CONMEBOL and bring in the United States as a wild card. I don't know who that next dude is that in 5, 6, 7 years, when Lionel Messi is playing at Newell's when he's 45, I don't know who that next dude is that you can sit there and justify bringing the Copa America back to the United States. And go, hey, let's come back to the United States. I don't know who that next dude is.
There's no doubt. His star power is unmatched. His star power is just unmatched. Of course, you know, the other player that you know that you don't like, that's the only two dudes that they can do this. I mean, they can draw on this kind of attention globally. Mm-hmm. Globally, okay. You know, talking about the even from a confederation, but globally, there's none. And this is like I said before, in 2026 is going to be the last World Cup for these two kings, and we're going to miss him badly. We're going to miss him badly, and we are so fortunate to have lived in this era that they have no precedent, because before that there was only one king, and we've been living in a world of two kings for the past 10-15 years. So it's gonna be a while. I don't know if we're gonna be around the next time that this situation happens in soccer, but it's the end of an era in soccer, and a glorious era.
Yeah, and so I would enjoy it for what it is and just understand that there are a lot of folks that want to sit there and max out the economics of Messi. So I guess it's Messinomics or something like that?
You know? Messinomics, yeah.
You're maxing out the Messinomics of the situation. I get it. In Major League Soccer, and our buddy Nico Moreno is going to join us after, as always, in the Power Hour, because you both have aligned here on this Friday.
Now, Johnny, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this about the Messinomics, and now, how does it feel now in the U.S. with Messi winning the title? You know, were you expecting it? All right, it came earlier than that. We finished.
I think that what you've got, you have two camps. And you have, I think you've got that group of folks that basically sat there and said, well, what took you so long? And first off, you're in a cap league, and you've got to be imaginative as to how you want to administer things. And so you were looking for, and here, our dear friend Abby, who is one of our A-listers, those of us in ATL are not happy. it's Eastern Conference because that's why we refer to, she refers to it as someone who is from South Florida. She refers to it as Inter Fort Lauderdale because they're not even in Miami. They're in Fort Lauderdale up at the Erector set. So she refers to it as Inter Fort Lauderdale. Whereas, you know, we kind of refer to it as Messi and Friends because that's what it is. I think it took them, they were looking happened by the end of this contract. And I think they got it in just under the wire. He signs the renewal to go into the new building to usher in this new era of Messi and Friends, when it's just and Friends. And then you try to figure out who else you're bringing in for this next wave of Major League Soccer. You've got that group of folks that wear the pink number 10s around the country. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter who you're attached to, but you're attached to dude. You are attached to Messi. You are a part of Messinomics. And then you have everybody who are sitting there, and much like Abby,
who are going. She's tired of the league catering to Messi and friends. They've gotten extra advantages more than any other team. So that is, you have those two trains of thought where everybody is embracing the pink number 10, and then the idea that Messi and friends are getting
away with too much
for, yeah, they're getting off. So you have all of the Gulfstream Galacticos coming together the way that they have, and I give Rolson Leahy and the front office all the credit in the world. I think you've challenged Major League Soccer to figure out ways to bring in this kind of talent and sit there and go, okay, we want you to go this way, or you can go this way and spend money and try and be competitive and bring folks in from around the planet to try and match what is going on in a salary cap era, or you can go about it a different way. And if you're comfortable in your own skin and not freaked out by how the Moss brothers are trying to spend all this money and win all these titles by spending all this money, that's where you're at, you know. And it's like, so you literally, you do have folks that are embracing Messinomics and folks that can't wait to see them fall on their face, like what happened in Open Cup when Nashville came up and bit them and they didn't get that title. You've got as many ha 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 as there are celebrating when one of the greatest stars of this or any generation and his friends win a title. Literally, you have split camps here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. But I think the title came at the right time. Mm-hmm. It came at the right time for me. That's the timing. This could not be more perfect for him, man.
Because I mean, you're right toward the end of that first contract. Jordi Alba and Sergi Busquets, they're retiring. They're going out on that note. They're going off. You're bringing in Luis Suarez for another year. You've brought in Rodrigo De Paul. Looks like Lo Celso might be next on the list as another one of those big guns that you bring in on a free to try and continue the cycling of all of these big names and all these gears going forward. But for me, the question will always be, when it comes to Messinomics, coin this term, going after it, we can carry this forward. What happens when he finally does go? Who is that next big dude that the Moss brothers try to bring in to match the competitive successes that Messi and friends have had? Who is that next big dude who's, you know, north of 30, unless you really want to spend money and turn it into some kind of a deal that Major League Soccer has never seen, one of the late dudes in their mid to late 20s, you bring in a true stud and have them there for 5 or 6 years. Who's that next dude north of 30 that you got at the twilight of their gig that you bring in and sit there and that they're fantastic now, but then they come to Major League Soccer and boost them again? Who's that next dude? That's how do you continue when Alba, Busquets, Messi, Suarez, all of them are gone. How do you come up with your encore? Do you turn into Airplane 2, which was an awful movie, or do you go or do you go Rocky 2 and have Rocky beat Apollo finally? What does it look like in Fort Lauderdale? What does it look like for Messi and friends when it's not Messi anymore and it's just the friends? That to me is the big question.
It's going to be a long transition, brother. I'm telling you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a long transition before they find another way of doing things in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I know the Bacon has lots of connections, but it's who is eager to, you know what? I'm done playing in Europe. I'm going to go to Miami, but should I go to Saudi Arabia? They offer me $50 million a year. How much money are you offering me?
Well,
how much money can you put on the table, actually?
And that's the thing. It's got to be one of these NIL deals plus contract where Messi gets paid, I think, 22. And then with endorsements, it gets to 50 because it's a piece of the action, because it's a piece of Apple and the TV deal and all these endorsements that the league sit there and say, yeah, we're not going to touch that. Whatever you get in endorsements, that's cool. League can pay you whatever they want. Team can pay you whatever they want. You're a designated player. You fit this way in the cap. The team can pay you whatever they want. Then you can get all these endorsements and do whatever you want. I mean, the NWSL is facing this right now in women's soccer right now. They're facing that with Trinity Rodman right now. About this kind of a watershed moment. where do you go? Who is comfortable enough in their own skin to where you can pay them 20, but then get those endorsement deals to get you to that Messi level of 50? That's the next.
There's no other player right now that can that they have that leverage, and that leverage to Di Maria. Di Maria said no to him. They put an offer. Go ahead and put an astronomical offer. They're gonna say no. As you put the astronomical offer, and like, oh yeah, we can pay you that. Oh, yeah, no, I'm not going. He went to Benfica.
As always, great to catch up with our friend Nino Torres and find out what is on his mind as he comes in fully loaded in every single appearance on SDHAM. That is another round of the best of SDHAM. Hopefully, to all of yours, to you and yours, may the holiday past be what it was and be what you meant for it to be, and may the holiday upcoming be the same. If it's supposed to be loud and boisterous, let it be loud and boisterous. If it is supposed to be quiet and contemplative, let it be that way as well. We'll catch up with you again next week as we put a bow on 2025 and get you ready for 2026. And we'll find out what might be facing some leagues and some personalities and what they think about what's going to be happening after one calendar year is done and everybody's getting ready to turn the page. I'm John Nelson. Thanks for dropping by for the best of SDHAM. Mucha plata, y'all. Play it safe. We will catch up with you again next week.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.